This is Bird Deming, along with our virtual fictitious assistant,
that would be me,
at fairandunbalanced.com, in association with Mad Mike's America, discussing balanced views of slavery. We begin by quoting John F. Kennedy.
I'm coming to believe that Thaddeus Stevens was right. I had always been taught to regard him as a man of vicious bias. But when I see this sort of thing, I begin to wonder how else you can treat them. John F. Kennedy, reacting privately to the assassination of Medgar Evers, June 1963.
The literary storm that followed an unfortunate book review in The Economist magazine has been a combination of outrage and rage. The review was critical of a book by Edward Baptist about slavery. The reviewer presented the case that the book lacked balance, neglecting to present the case in favor of slavery. The Economist withdrew the piece. The recantation contained the review itself as a gesture toward transparency. It served as an allocution of sorts and acknowledged of the facts as part of an admission of guilt. Within the withdrawn review, mention was made of another author, British Lord Hugh Thomas. Thomas had written a more clinical analysis of slavery as a business industry, with only minimal mention of the cruelties involved. The review in The Economist compared the two.
Unlike Mr. Thomas, Mr. Baptist has not written an objective history of slavery. Almost all the blacks in his book are victims. Almost all the whites, villains. This is not history. It is advocacy.
The controversy brought to mind the lessons of my youth and a larger message about history itself. When I was in grade school, we were taught about the period after the Civil War. Lincoln wanted reconciliation with the Southern states. He favored a moderate course. Sadly, he was killed before he could bring reconciliation to the nation. But he had chosen a vice president who was committed to Lincoln's vision. Obstructing that vision, a vindictive group of radical Republicans wanted retribution against the South. They imposed harsh measures during a period of punishment known as Reconstruction. Thaddeus Stevens, the leader of the Radical Republicans for a time, was a bitter sort of fanatic. For a few years, the Radicals would wave the bloody shirt, smearing peace-loving opponents who wanted a friendly welcome to the former rebellious states. Eventually, the Radicals lost power, and reconciliation reigned, just as Lincoln had wanted. We passed vocabulary tests if we could remember the assigned definitions of such terms as scalawag and carpetbagger and wave the bloody shirt. The notion that Lincoln fought hard against those supposed caretakers of his vision to get a series of constitutional amendments passed was largely ignored. His late but firm embrace of equal treatment under the law and his advocacy of the protections of basic rights were not mentioned at all. Only later did I discover that the harsh treatment covered in the classroom involved voting rights, protection from lynching, and the softest beginnings of advancement toward equal employment. When federal protection of former slaves was ended in the 1870s, the violent rage of former slave owners took over. This was presented by the books we studied as the time that the great healing began between a bitter and angry North and a subdued and peaceful South. Why were we taught such lies? My guess is it has to do with the slow path research goes to textbook. The culture of the late 1800s, going well into the 1950s, was war-weary. The can't-we-just-get-along narrative had an unspoken underlying foundation. All the getting along was to be done among white people. The unwritten adjective to South was white. The great reconciliation was between the white North and the white South. The basic search, from which later research drew, was done during a time that the reconciliation narrative was in ascendancy, and that later research drenched textbooks of my time. Thus, equality and protection could be introduced to our young minds as vindictive punishment. The current below the Reconstruction narrative still flows with racial assumptions, but the wind in the sails has come to be balance. How can we think that all the slave owners were on the side of evil? How can we see all the slaves as the victims of that same evil? How can only the bad side of slavery be presented? Why not the benefits? This is only the most extreme, the most obvious case of a more general trend. The human instinct favors balance. News outlets today report based on balance. Balance is achieved not as a result of evidence and documentation, but rather as a premise. Balance has come to be prized over truth. More than half a century after I was first shocked and stunned and deeply saddened to hear of his own assassination, I still love John F. Kennedy. I understand his reaction to the tragic murder of Medgar Evers, but there is additional tragedy in the fact that the conclusion, "I'm coming to believe that Thaddeus Stevens was right," had to be prompted not by historical evidence, but by the body of a hero in a driveway. This is Bird Deming, along with our virtual fictitious assistant.
That would be me.
At fairandunbalanced.com, in association with Mad Mike's America.